kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
I want to share with you tonight, we have a title that we will discuss and look at, and we're calling this teaching, Do We Delight in the Lord? Do we delight in the Lord? Lovely word, delight is, because it means to take pleasure in something, to please someone, or the object is to help, to please, to encourage. And in many ways, that's what our meetings are about. Our meetings are about to encourage, to teach us. And it should be a delight, a pleasure to be able to come and dwell in fellowship and in unity. It shouldn't be a drudge, or it shouldn't be something, well, I'd better do it, you know, or else, you know, the Lord won't be pleased and so on. That is not what we're saved for. And God is putting within our hearts these godly affections and these desires in which to follow him and to have fellowship with him and each other. And so that's why we're calling this teaching today, Do We Delight in the Lord? You see, we are to delight in him and he in us. And this is what he wants to teach and show us, that we not only delight in him, but he also delights in us. And let us turn to Isaiah chapter 53, verses 13 to 14. Isaiah 58 and verses 13 and 14, which says this, If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honourable, and shall honour him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words. Then you shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob, your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. Well, of course, there he's under the old covenant, speaking of hallowing the Sabbath day, making it that day of rest, which they were to do under the law. And he says that if you do that, then the Lord takes delight in that, because, of course, it was a time of reflection. It was a time of being still before God and thinking upon him and so on. Well, of course, we fulfill the Sabbath now by faith every day within our lives and walk. So we're no longer under the law. It has all been fulfilled and accomplished through Christ on the cross. But we get the principle from this. It's about relationship. And he was showing Israel their relationship that they have with him. And by the Sabbath, they could really think and meditate upon him, and above all, be still from doing their work and their chores and so forth. And God revealed that he takes delight in this, and he shows that there will come blessing and feed you with the heritage of Jacob, your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. He says, I will cause you to ride on high hills of the earth. So it's a lifting up. It's being raised above our situation, our trials and our tribulations. We, of course, do go through them, but it's a means of raising us up into his presence. It's about fellowship. And that's what we glean from this as we delight in the Lord. You see, there should be a delight also in the deeper life teaching that we teach you. That we're teaching you to walk by faith and not by sight, and not to trust in the arm of the flesh, but to stand upon God's word and his promises. It should even be a delight in the fact that when we go through trials and tribulations, it is working together for good for us. It's teaching us something. We are seeing more of Almighty God in our trials and our tests. It's so often in the trials and the tests that we learn about God, that we understand what he's saying, and that he can reach out and touch us. So again, there can be a delight, and this is why James says, count it all joy when you go through trials and tribulations. For that purpose and that reason. Now, of course, the world out there won't understand that at all. Because all they do with trials and tribulations is gripe and moan and bring out nothing but the negative. But we are to rise above that because we have a deeper insight, knowing that this is working together for good to them that love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. There's a deeper purpose and meaning behind it all. And we always must hold that in mind, no matter how bad the trials can get. And sometimes these trials, they take us to virtually breaking point where we can't take any more. But God is in control, and he has the final say, as you read that clearly in the book of Job. He gave permission for Satan to buffet him, to take all his family, his house, everything, but he said, you will not take his life. So there we see the sovereignty of Almighty God, even in the trials. And so we find this delighting in the Lord, the word of God should be a delight to us. Why is it such a delight? Because we know that faith comes by hearing the word of God. We know that by learning the word of God, it leads and directs our path. It exposes the powers of darkness. It reveals to us our Father's heart toward us, and there's such vast knowledge and understanding and learning with God's word. And what does Psalm chapter 1 and verse 2 tell us? Psalm 1 and verse 2, he says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. So the psalmist is saying that the word that I receive, what I read, is an absolute pleasure. It is a delight. It shouldn't be a burden. Even if the word of God has our name and address on it, it should never be a burden, but a delight. A pleasure. What is your attitude toward God's word? That is the question. And maybe we're not always learning or understanding the word as we should, because we're not delighting, as the psalmist is doing, in the law of the Lord. And he meditates day and night. It's his meditation. He thinks upon it. He recites it. He's looking it up. He's looking up the verses to encourage and so on. We should be nourished in the word of God. That's what he's saying here. But a lot of saints are not nourished in the word of God. And the reason being is because they don't delight in it. It's not really a pleasure. And therefore, you need to ask God to put that within your heart, because that's going to enable you to learn, to meditate it, and to stand upon it. We become too reliant on listening to the ministers, the teachers. It's easy to do that. You just come and you just listen, which it almost becomes entertainment. It has to be more than that. The word of God that is preached, like it is tonight, is so that you take it away and you seek the Lord. You seek the word out further from what you heard. That is what it should be. But it's not always, because it's not that delight, that pleasure, which he wants us to experience. In other words, this pleasure here is not only a desire, but it's valuable. That's how it's reading. That's how it's reading in the Hebrew. It's not only a pleasure, it's also my desire, and this is so valuable. You can't put a price to this. With the law of the Lord. I cannot put a price to this that I'm able to read it and meditate it and stand upon it. There's no price attached to it. That is what he's saying here. I'm reminded also where we have been taught over the years to yield to the Spirit and not resist him, which in other words is called obedience. Now look what he says. You know this very well in 1 Samuel 15 and verse 22, where he addresses this to Saul, King Saul, who rebels against God. And listen what he says here in 1 Samuel 15, 22, which you know well. Has the Lord great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. So the Lord reveals that he has great delight, pleasure, when we obey. And he's putting obedience above sacrificing. And that is a principle that runs in our life. It's a principle that runs every day in our life. And this is why we make so much about the fact that the cross that you take up daily and follow the Lord, the cross is to work with the self-life so that we yield over to the Spirit. We don't resist his will, but we allow him to work his will in and through us. It's the same thing here, which is to obey. He takes great delight. That is why Jesus said, if you wish to follow me as a disciple, you too take up your cross daily and follow me. God takes delight in that, because it means you desire the will of God and not your own will and carnal mind and thinking. That is what he's showing here. The Apostle Paul has something also to say about this in the book of Romans. In Romans chapter 7 and verse 22, where he's revealing here in this chapter that we now are free from the law, and that Christ has fulfilled all the demands, all the jottle and tittle, of the law. It's finished, it's accomplished in Christ. And here he says in verse 22, for I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. So he's not diminishing or doing away with the law. The law under the old covenant is still the word of God, but we now fulfill it by faith, by the grace and mercy of God. But he says, I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. In other words, when we are not in faith or we fall short of the standard of God's word, that law comes into operation. The law is to convict. The law is to bring us to Christ, in which the blood that he has shed at Calvary can cover and deal with our shortcomings or our sin. So the law is still valid in that sense. And that is why we walk by faith and not by sight. And we fulfill all as we believe upon the promises of God's word. And God delights in that. God delights when we stand upon these promises and see the word of God, these promises being fulfilled in our lives, and giving these testimonies of God's faithfulness. He takes delight in that. That gives him pleasure. And if it gives him pleasure, you are going to feel that pleasure from your Father. When you obey, you feel the pleasure of your Father. He takes delight in that. And that's how the Apostle Paul, he also himself is taking delight in the Word of God. One of the biggest problems when we start losing sight of taking delight in God is often when we start to lose our first love. And we know from the scriptures what God says about that. And we'll just look at it briefly in the Word, in Revelation. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 1, and he says, to the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saying, he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands, I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil, and you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars, and you have preserved and have patience and have labored for my name's sake, and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember therefore from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come and quickly remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. I mean, this church is pretty commendable. I mean, you know, they're doing a lot. They really are. Most of us would be very, very happy and blessed being in a church like that. However, there is something they are neglecting, their first love. They are beginning to leave Jesus out of it. They're no longer, in other words, taking delight in the Lord. They're getting very caught up in works, and they're missing out the most important thing, and that is the Lord. And that is why the Lord has to be central to our faith, to our walk, to the church, to the assembly. He is the one that we look to. He is the one that we bow our knees to. He is the one that we pray to. He is the one that we sing to. He is the one that we're here today in fellowship online. You leave him out, there's no meeting. You see, and so we take delight in him. Because he is the way, the truth, and the life. You cannot get to the Father except through him. He is the one, when you read in the book of Revelation, he is the glorified, risen one in chapter 4. He is the central theme to the book of Revelation. And thank God he is, because he has overcome all things. So let us take delight in that, that he's gone before and he's gone to prepare a way, a place for us, that we too will follow in his footsteps. All of that is to take delight in. The Word of God, the center of God's Word from Genesis to Revelation, is about Jesus Christ. He is the central theme to it all. And that is why we take delight in him, and we must never lose our first love. Because you lose that delight, that pleasure. And when you begin to lose your first love, one of the first things that begins to happen, you start to neglect in prayer. Your prayer life is not the same as it used to be. And you will find you will occupy that time that you once did in prayer with other worthless worldly things. They are clear signs that you are not any longer delighting in the Lord. And he certainly can't delight in you if you're not going to come and communicate with him in prayer and intercession. And you lose that, you also lose sight of fellowship. And that means that you no longer regard fellowship, being together with those of like mind and spirit, as important and valuable. You see, God takes delight in the assembly of the saints meeting together with him. He takes delight in that. That's why he said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I. What is his presence revealing? That he's taking pleasure, delight with his people. And that is why, in return, we worship and praise him. And that's another thing that will happen. If you're losing your first love, you no longer have that praise and worship about you. But you have that heaviness, that sadness. You can't lift your voice before him and worship him. It becomes an effort, a drudge. God inhabits the praises of his people. God takes great delight when we worship him. When we come into his presence with clean hands and a pure heart, where our worship and praise is acceptable unto him. He takes great delight in that. And sometimes we don't feel like doing it, but that is the sacrifice of praise. We can so easily lose sight of these things. And then depression starts to set in, and battling in the mind, and things just starting to go wrong. Why? Because we've lost that delight and pleasure in the Lord. You see, sometimes we have to hold on to these godly things. See, God sometimes tests us to see if we want this. We want to maintain this. It doesn't just always come falling out of heaven. some of the testings that God permits and allows us to go through is to see if we really love the Lord with all our heart, soul, mind, and being. That is why. And sometimes he will allow that, you see. So being in delight with God helps you with your attitude, with your confession. Maybe your confession isn't lining up with the Word of God, and particularly when you go through a trial, because we know the trials really bring out what is in the heart. And that's why God allows us to go through trials. He allowed the children of Israel to go through that trial in the wilderness. And when the spies came back and said, it is a good land to possess, and they came back with the milk and honey and the grapes of the land. However, the rest of them said, yes, but there's one thing you didn't say. There's giants in the land, and we know the rest of it. That worked fear, unbelief. They started to confess, wish to God that we were back in Egypt than out here to perish. And God gave them up to their confession. Were they revealing delight and pleasure in the Lord? Not at all. And God gave them up. They perished in the wilderness. But there is still a land to possess, and it is the promises of God's word. It is the blessings of these words, inheriting this word that God has given to his people. And the only way that is going to happen is when you take delight. It is a pleasure. It is a pleasure to hear God speak and to encourage us to stand on these promises, to make them our confession, whatever trial or tribulation we're going through. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And sometimes we have to maintain this. It's not just always going to happen for you. We know that we are baptized in the Spirit. We're empowered by the Spirit. And that is vitally important. But sometimes it is a sacrifice of praise. Sometimes you just do it. And that is why you walk by faith and not by feelings or emotions or whatever it would be, like so many Christians do. Unless they feel right or feel good, then I'll praise and worship the Lord. Thank God I don't have to rely on feelings to preach God's word twice a week. It's by faith. If I were to go by feelings, you probably would only get a teaching maybe once a month or twice a month. And yet so many Christians are still bound by how they feel. But remember, feelings are like the wind. It changes. You can be feeling down or sad, and within 10 minutes you can have joy in your heart. It can completely change. The problem is we believe too much in these feelings and emotions, and that is why the devil uses it. But they are lies. They are lies, certainly, where the word of God is and what he wants us to stand on, confess and believe. Of course, we have feelings. They're God-given. But we have to remember that our feelings, our emotions, have to be controlled, led by the Spirit. And there is a difference. We live in an age now of excess of the flesh, emotions, and so on. It's all around us. Sadly, we see so much of it in churches and this fleshly, soulish worship. There's nothing more than entertainment. These places are more like circuses than the house of God. Why? Because there's little fear of God. But we're told, aren't we, that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And we need that wisdom in which to enter the presence of a holy and mighty God. But God takes delight in us, and we must take delight in him, because it's part of relationship that we have with the Lord. And when we do it his way, when we yield and we don't resist and we obey him, you will feel the pleasure and delight of your heavenly Father in your heart. He is going to make it absolutely known to you. And that is how it is. And that's what he wants from us. So there we are, brothers and sisters. An encouragement today for us to consider and think about. Heavenly Father, thank you for our time together in your presence. Lord, may your presence ever go with us. Father, may we bear the fruit of this word that we have heard, because the world knows us by the fruit. Father, we thank you that you are speaking to your people in these last days. You are drawing a people of like mind and spirit, coming together in fellowship under your banner. And so, Lord, I pray you'll bless, preserve and keep my brothers and sisters. Keep them from the evil one and from temptations. Give your angels charge over them and cause them to walk in your ways. And lead and guide them in their ministries, Father, to the right people. You have a remnant out there. You have a people out there who are ready to hear. And so, Lord, we thank you for this. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen, amen.
Let him in constancy follow.